Today on Real Radio.
We think that political correctness breeds unity. It's one of the greatest falsehoods there is, and it's an old lie. And so I would say this, you get this series, you listen to it with your Bible open. I really mean that. Don't, you know, you can listen to it while you drive, I guess, but I would really ask you to make the time to listen to it with your Bible open.
Yeah.
And ask the Lord, what does that verse mean? Get into it. Let Him speak to you. He wants to speak to you. And He'll do that through the Word of God, the Bible.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give You my praise. My heart is in Your hands, let me feel Your touch. Lord, I live for Your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, we're going to be stepping away from our normal format as we do from time to time and have a little table talk right here in Pastor Jack's office. Good to do this once again.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be with you and excited about this program.
Now, there is one reason why we're doing it right now. It's because we have just wrapped up Revelation. And I do have to say, personally, that was a fantastic series. And in fact, some people have commented, uh-oh, how's he going to top that one?
We were very excited about the study. And for me personally, it was an endeavor and a labor of love because of the fact that the very first sermon I had ever heard was a sermon on the book of Revelation by Pastor Greg Laurie.
That's what you
perhaps
mentioned.
Some of the radio listeners would recognize Greg Laurie on the Harvest radio program in Crusades. But Greg Laurie was preaching out of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, where the scripture says there that, behold, there was a great white throne, and before Him, you know, all those appeared, and the books were opened. And when Greg Laurie expounded on that Monday night about who is it that appears before the great white throne judgment, I realized that night, Mike, that I was on my way to that judgment.
That's right.
No one had ever beat me up with the Bible. I had never heard any scriptural teaching or indoctrination whatsoever. But when I heard Greg that night for the first time, I knew I was in trouble. I knew I needed the Lord. And that's where I do not want to be.
Now, as far as Revelation goes, how many parts are there to Revelation?
The book of Revelation is amazing because out of all the books of the Bible, this one that you would naturally think by what you hear on the street is that you can't understand the book. The exact opposite's true. Jesus Himself said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, He gives the divine outline of the book. He says, write the things which you have seen, the things that are, and the things that will take place after. And that is actually the chronological divine outline of the book. And once somebody understands that and sees that, you know, here's the Lord Jesus, the ultimate teacher, giving us a great clue. And so there are three divine sections to this book that gives us great assistance in understanding it.
Okay, the letters to the seven churches, where would that fall? Which part would that be?
The letters to the seven churches encompasses a time period that was factual. I say factual and actual. I like saying that because those were churches that existed during the time of the first century era. And of course, John was very familiar with those churches and the things that surrounded them. And so when you look at Revelation, you have the Lord talking about those seven churches, for example, which obviously not only speaks about those churches, but churches and hearts, if I might add, that represent people throughout all ages of time. And we looked at that in depth in the study. But he then goes out where John is taken up to Revelation 4, verse 1. At that point, it was dealing with the things that were concerning the church.
Right.
And that Revelation 4, verse 1 now begins to show you things that are going to take place after.
Thus the beginning of part 2 of Revelation. Well, then that brings up a good point, because Revelation is highly symbolic and apocalyptic and so on, but those two chapters would pretty much be the exception to the rule, correct?
Those two chapters are factual and actual, but we have to remember this. You mentioned a great thing about the book of Revelation being symbolic. A lot of people will say, well, you can't understand the book because it's got symbolism that we would have to maybe be living in that time to have understood it. And that's okay. That's not exactly true. In fact, the awesome construction of the book lends itself to not only getting the message out during the rule and the reign of the Roman Empire and the emperors of Rome, in that what I mean, there are symbolic teachings that they understood then.
Yeah.
But for example, when John mentions the red dragon, he also, by the way, goes on in a few verses and says it's Satan, the devil. But it's interesting that in every culture all around the world, red dragons are not things you cuddle up to.
Yeah,
you know, it's
right.
Something nasty and something bad.
Right.
But I said this many times during the course of our study, and I just want to repeat it. The book of Revelation, as is Bible prophecy from Genesis to Revelation, God is so good to us because he says when he wants to speak symbolic language to us, he'll say something along these lines, that John heard a voice and it was like the sound of many waters.
Okay.
Well, what do we know from that? We know immediately that John was not listening to water.
It was like.
That okay. was like. Yes, the Bible's very good about that. When something is symbolic, it will tell you. It was as though, it will use that term, or it was like. And so scripture says, for example, concerning Jesus, I saw as it were a lamb that had been slain. So it's good to us. The word of God's always good to us, never misleading us.
You are listening to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs, and we're having an intimate conversation with Pastor Jack right here in his office, as we do from time to time. And since we've come to the end of the book of Revelation, we're giving a recap and some of the issues that have been brought up in this series. As a matter of fact, here's a question, Pastor Jack. How does Revelation differ from other books in the biblical canon?
The book of Revelation can boast something, among many things, can boast something that is extremely unique. And that is, the book of Revelation is the book that references, cross-references, quotes, brings to light almost every other Old Testament book of the Bible. Many people will say, I don't understand the book of Revelation. I leave it alone. I don't go there. But what they're actually saying is, honestly, really, they're kind of indicting themselves. They would probably admit also, if they were honest, I don't read the Old Testament. Well, no. The book of Revelation is amazing because if you were to read Genesis to Malachi, skip the New Testament and read the book of Revelation, especially if you're Jewish.
Transition.
Absolutely. If you're Jewish, you would say, wow,
yeah.
Boy, what was referenced by Moses and the seven lampstands back in you know, Exodus or Leviticus, here we have in the book of Revelation, you know, and what we see about the tree of life in Genesis that Moses spoke about. Oh, here we have it again in the book of Revelation. It's beautiful. The book of Revelation requires that you have read your Old Testament. And no other book of the Bible can post that or demand that.
Isn't that a commentary to say that even the New Testament is very, very Jewish?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I have some dear friends in Israel, and we share the Lord with them often. They're still holding us off about that, and I understand that. We love them dearly. They love us. But we give them the Word, and it was fun. A couple of years ago, we had some friends here from Israel, and when we began to introduce to them Matthew, and I did that very carefully, knowing that they don't want to touch the New Testament, my Jewish friend was immediately impressed with the fact that
the genealogy.
That Matthew Levi, he said, the guy's Jewish.
Yeah.
I said, of course he's Jewish. I said, so was Paul.
He was a good accountant.
Yeah, Peter was Jewish, you know.
Uh-huh.
They were very surprised about that. So, it's Jewish. People will ask me, are you Jewish? No, but apparently the God that I am is.
Yeah. I've heard it put this way. You may be a Gentile by race, but you're a Jew by grace.
Oh, that's good.
Are there passages that some tend to shy away from that maybe they will teach Revelation, but we're going to kind of skip over this passage or that verse.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the listeners might be even searching their own memory files right now, asking, well, when's the last time our church or our home group or Bible study gathering went through the book of Revelation? It holds a sad record, Mike, in church today, and that is it's the least studied book of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe that, as the title says, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I think maybe it should be read more, especially in the times and the age in which we live. You can't get a greater book, although John's gospel is wonderful, you can't get a greater book to scream the deity of Jesus Christ than the book of Revelation.
You know, that was one of my questions. Isn't this book arguably more than any other book in the entire canon,
sure,
supportive of the deity of Christ? And if so, in what ways?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, when it does announce that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, it announces something, Mike, that a lot of people don't want to consider, and that is, the book of Revelation does not expose Jesus as the Gospels do, where he's the warm, loving, tender Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong, he always is that. But in that context of the four Gospels, he was coming as our Messiah, coming as our Savior, coming as our sacrifice to reveal to us the kingdom of God. Now, 2,000 years have passed. Yes, it's the same Jesus coming back that the book of Revelation talks about. But he's coming back to take possession of his earth, of his kingdom, to be established in Jerusalem. He's coming back as the conquering king. He first came as the sacrificed Messiah.
Yeah.
Now he comes back as the conquering king. The book of Revelation tells us that his eyes are as a flame of fire. And so, you know, you read that and you go through the book of Revelation and it's all about Jesus exercising the holy, and I want to stress that, holy, righteous, justifiable judgment of God, which is due according to the holiness of God.
There seem to be a lot of what we now know as doxologies. People just going completely off in worshiping him. And in this case, it was multitudes in heaven.
Multitudes in heaven. And you look at the end of almost every New Testament book, and there's a beautiful doxology, or what's considered a doxology. I hope the listeners don't take this as a stretch, but the book of Revelation is at the end of your Bible. I think the book of Revelation is a holy, glorious, wonderful doxology, because from the start of the book to the end of the book, it's all about him and his rightful place.
And many of them are several verses long.
Oh, the
whereas
singing.
In Paul's writing, it might be one or two verses at the most, but then, yeah, they go off on singing and everything else.
The singing, the worship, angels participating,
right.
The 24 elders casting their crowns before the throne, the bowing down, the joy of it all. I mean, this is where we're going, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
This is our Lord having provided this heaven for us.
Okay, now I'm thinking of Alpha and Omega and Lamb. Those would be three terms that the book of Revelation uses to refer to Christ himself as God.
Yeah, oh,
what other ways does Revelation refer to his deity?
The Alpha and the Omega, as you said, and the Lamb. But we have the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I mean, for example, we did a study outside of this particular study, but it was entitled, Is Jesus God? And we just simply quoted verses. And one of the greatest verses of all, and what I'm about to say, I hope none of the listeners are offended in the wrong way. Maybe this could land in your heart offending you in the right way, was I was sharing with a Jehovah Witness at my door who was trying to get me to believe that Jesus was none other than Michael, the archangel, and just an angel. And when I came to Revelation, and I used the book of Revelation, like when I came to Revelation chapter 1, for example, verse 17, I asked him, I said, now let me read this to you. And by the way, I read it out of his New World Translation Bible.
Sure, it's a good tactic.
So, right out of his own book, which has been revised, but it works, I read, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and said to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. And I asked him, who is that? He says, well, that's Jehovah God. And I said, you know, that's exactly right, because throughout Scripture, the first and the last is Jehovah God. Let me keep reading. I am he who lives. I asked him again, who is that? He was kind of perturbed by that.
Yeah.
He said, it's Jehovah God. I kept reading, and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And he, he just stopped for a moment. I said, well, you know what, maybe that's not right. Let me go to another place. I again turned in his New World Translation to Revelation 2:8. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write these things, who says, I'm the first and the last who was dead and came to life. This gentleman at my door said, it's Jehovah God who's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, as those statements are made in the Old Testament. He had never considered that the book of Revelation combines those titles of deity, and whoever that is died and came back to life.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely glorious.
Well, did he? What happened? I'm curious. Oh, did he walk away?
I don't know if your listeners want to hear this. He actually left and brought back a few weeks later five of his hierarchy guys, and I just went through the same thing.
Okay.
And you know, since that time, they've stopped coming to my door, unfortunately.
Well, it's a mission field on your doorstep, and
true.
You know, Scripture says that God's word will accomplish what He set it out to do. Okay, now we do have to address that there was one, shall we say, a real barn burner section in this series of Revelation, and you probably know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Is the Babylon. Kind of responses did we get?
We've had overwhelming responses to that, both in request for the teaching and people, you know, writing in, asking questions, wanting mm-hmm. more, and some people honestly writing in saying, this can't be true. I won't listen to this. I don't believe that.
They were offended.
They were offended. The good part for me, and maybe for all of us, is that they were listening to Christian radio,
first of all,
to hear mm-hmm. the program.
Yeah.
And they kept listening. But we go through great lengths in the series to not beat anybody up, but to reveal the truth. And you know, I was asked by a few people, can you put together the bibliography for this? And it's actually, yeah, the answer is yes. And I didn't realize when I was putting the study together that there are over 46 commentaries that I used, on top of the fact that there were an additional archaeological publications from the Smithsonian to the National Geographic to what is called or entitled BAR, the Biblical Archaeological Review, a highly respected publication on archaeology and the Bible. But also, and it's something that, I'll put it this way, I watch all kinds of news channels. I just don't want to watch my favorite news channel because I think you'll get a skewed view.
Yeah.
And so what I didn't verbally put out there, but I used in, I wanted to know what pagans thought. I wanted to know, why do they do this today? What do they say about it? Now, it may not be true, but they believe it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important for our listeners to understand, that there may be somebody in their life, they believe what they believe. And we as Christians say, well, how could they? It's ridiculous. It's not true.
Yeah.
I understand that. And thank God we know the truth.
Right.
But they believe it. It doesn't make it true, but
that's right.
They believe it is true. And with the Book of Revelation study, for example, I really looked hard into the origins of pagan worship. I went and studied other, example, university publications that have nothing to do with God. If anything, they have an anti-God, anti-Christ view, but they documented tracing back, for example,
wow.
the roots of worship systems back to ancient Babylon or today
okay.
modern Iraq. So we did a lot of homework, actually over 2 years of homework for that study.
So were there people offended? I'm sure the answer is yes, that there is a connection between Babylon, or the second Babylon, it might be called, and Rome.
Yeah, they were. However, let me say this. We enjoyed during the series. Now, this is not during the entire Book of Revelation, but during the series, Mike, we saw the attendance at the church here swell during that period of time
wow.
to the best attendance that we've ever seen, or I should say the largest attendance that we had seen.
Were people bringing back friends and family, or what?
What they were doing, they were bringing back friends and family, but I was very happy to be meeting people in the foyer after service who understood what was being said in light of perhaps what they're being told at their local Catholic church.
Mm.
Because as we looked at some of these things, we talked, for example, about the Queen of Heaven.
Yeah.
Where the Queen of Heaven predates the Catholic Church by millennia.
That's right.
But they came to me and they said, Pastor Jack, or they actually called me Father Jack, you know, which...
Old habits die
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, that was interesting, but
yes.
They were very tender and sweet. They said, you know, Father Jack, Pastor Jack, we've been told that this image or this statue is you know, Mary and the baby Jesus, and yet we showed evidence that both... printed evidence and archaeological evidence that the Queen of Heaven holding Tammuz, mm-hmm. the child, that dates back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 44, and in Ezekiel chapter 8, long before there was ever a Catholic church, long before even the birth of the Christian church at Pentecost. You go back during the times of Israel in the Old Testament, where God judges Israel for having worshipped, and I quote it, the Queen of Heaven, and having made sacrifices and baked bread unto Tammuz, her son. Has nothing to do with Jesus and Mary.
Right.
It has to do with the wife of Nimrod, who their union brought forth Tammuz, who are mentioned in the Bible and in antiquity.
Well, we are coming to the end of today's broadcast of Real Radio. And, of course, we've been offering three different products in the past few weeks. And, of course, the entire book of Revelation is on CD. It's actually on an MP3 CD. That's why we're able to cram all 72 studies on there, 72 teachings. And before I talk about the next product, I do want to ask you why you call it what you do. Because when we open up the New Testament, it'll often say the Revelation of John or Revelation of St. John or Revelation of St. John the Divine or something like that. This does not have that title. Why?
Yeah, very carefully. We intended it to be exactly as you read it because it is not the Revelation of St. John. It's not the Revelation of John. The word apocalypse, the unveiling, the revealing of,
yeah,
it's not about John.
No.
Just like it's not about Jack or about Mike. It's all about Jesus. And remember this, listener, the footnotes in your Bible, those are not inspired. Those are from the publisher. That title, The Revelation of John, that's put there by the publisher. That's not put there by the Lord. That's not anointed scripture. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And the other product that we've been talking about is Letters to the Seven Churches. Of course, that deals with chapters 2 and 3. That's a 7-CD set for your gift of $24 or more to Real Radio, and we'll tell you how to get in touch with us in just a moment. But probably what will be the best-selling product based on the phone calls that we've received and emails and people writing in and so on is Identifying the Road to Babylon. We have taken Pastor Jack's teachings on Babylon, just that part of the entire series of Revelation, and put it in a 4-CD set, and that's for your gift of $20 or more. And before we wrap up the broadcast, do you have one last thing to say before somebody listens to this, what might be considered sensitive material, Identifying the Road to Babylon?
Well, I think it's sensitive in a great way, meaning this, that a lot of effort went in to deliver what Jesus delivered in the scripture. I did not want to make it politically correct intentionally. I wanted to be theologically correct. And my great concern is that we be strong enough in the Word of God, discerning enough to be theologically correct.
Yeah.
Because if we're not, we are going to gravitate to the trend and to the heartbeat of the community, of the nation, of the world, and that is to cast or to sacrifice truth on the altar of unity, and that's wrong. We think that political correctness breeds unity. It's one of the greatest falsehoods there is,
yeah,
and it's an old lie. And so I would say this, you get this series, you listen to it with your Bible open. I really mean that. Don't, you know, you can listen to it while you drive, I guess, but I would really ask you to make the time to listen to it with your Bible open.
Yeah.
And ask the Lord, what does that verse mean? Get into it. Let him speak to you. He wants to speak to you, and he'll do that through the Word of God, the Bible.
Well, and there's no better time than the present, they say. So if you'd like to secure your own series on 4 audio CDs called Identifying the Road to Babylon, get in touch with us here at Real Radio. So far, Identifying the Road to Babylon has been in pretty high demand. People want to know more about what Scripture says regarding worshiping the Queen of Heaven, praying to statues of saints and their correlation to pagan gods, and, of course, the one global religion that will deceive the world and so on. This 4-CD set, Identifying the Road to Babylon, is yours for a gift to Real Radio of $20 or more. Get in touch in one of three ways. You can visit us at www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, and it's very self-explanatory from there. Or call us at 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. Or include your gift of $20 or more when you write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And all of the above information can always be found at realradioactive.org.
Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.